Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Dalet. We're beginning from the last two lines of Gimel Amud Beis. We're learning today Le'ilu Nishmas Jack Karkowski, Yaakov ben Menachem, David Halevi, Rose Rosenberg, Etta Risha, Bas Moshe, Samuel C. Gluck, Shmuel ben Zev, Arnold Herman, Aaron Chaim ben Svi Aryeh. All the Neshamas we learn for should have an Aliyah from our learning. As I said, we pick up the Gemara from the bottom of Gimel Amud Beis by the two dots. We said in the Mishnah that if a sukkah has more than 20 amos of airspace from the floor up until the schach, so then it's a possible sukkah. So what happens if a person comes along, he wants to make it less than 20? We said that technically you could be misaking this by minimizing the distance. You could either lower the schach or you could raise the floor. So here we're talking about if a person comes, he goes to raise the floor by putting in various types of pillows and covers. So he puts in things that are not normally left there, but he could put in things that will make the floor higher. So he puts in a couple of pillows, and this way there's less than 20 air space from the top of the pillows now to the schach. So is this good? So the Gemara tells us, that's not considered a valid halachic diminution in the height of the sukkah. It still is considered more than 20 amma of air space, and it's a possible sukkah according to the Chachamim, which is how we paskin. Rashi points out, she'ain sofa la niach sham. You're not going to leave it there, kol zayin, the entire yontif, if they have to be mourned, because you'd be losing those. They would get ruined, and person doesn't go put his property out there to get ruined. So therefore, it's not considered a valid miut, a valid diminution in the height of the sukkah. And the Gemara continues on Dalet Amud Aleph, even the afogav the batlinu lekulu, even if he were to actually go and say, I'm being mevatalit, l'chol shiva, Rashi says, for the entire 7-day period of Sukkot, he says, I'll be mevatalit. So nevertheless, we say that that doesn't work. Mishum debat l'daito etzel kolodon. The Gemara says, because most people wouldn't be willing to, it's $20 for each pillow, and they're not going to be willing to throw away the $20 for the 6 pillows that he put in the bottom of his sukkah, $120 he's going to throw away. So most people aren't willing to do that. Therefore, we can't say this guy, even though he says, I'm willing to do so, is in fact capable of doing so, and the halacha follows that we don't follow his intention, but we go, but l'daito, his intentions are nullified etzel kolodon, what a typical person would do. Similarly, Gemara says, what happens if you put in tevin? Tevin is straw. Tevin, if you put down straw on the floor of your sukkah to make it less than 20 amma airspace total, so then, bitlo, and you made a verbal declaration that you're mevatalit. So in this situation, heavy miyut, this is a valid miyut, because tevin is not something that's so expensive, so that's straw. And people would leave it there for the entire period of sukkahs, and therefore it could be batal to the sukkah, and therefore the floor has effectively been raised. Heavy miyut, it isn't considered a valid diminution in the height of the total sukkah's airspace because you've raised the floor in a valid way. And certainly, b'chol shekein, offer. And certainly, if you put in dirt over there on the floor, their sukkahs are mostly dirt floors, like many sukkahs today are on dirt floors. So therefore, b'chol shekein, offer, you put in dirt, ubitlo, and you also say, I hereby declare that this is null and void, that it definitely is considered that, you know, mevatel this dirt, the floor is therefore raised, the total airspace is less than 20 amma, and you're good now. So Gemara says, Tevin, what happens if a person put in straw, vein osid lefanosa, but he is not intending to remove it in the future, but he did not specifically state, I hereby am mevatel for the entire period of time of Sukkot. Or the offer, he has dirt there, stam, and he didn't say anything. Rashi defines over here, when he says Tevin, vein osid lefanosa, we're talking here, velo yitztarich lefanosa, he says you won't need to go and remove it the entire Sukkot, koy meyachag. However, umiyu lo bitlo mamish b'fiv, he didn't verbally actually declare, I hereby am making it null and void. The first statement that we had was that he made it null and void. He declared it verbally. Here he doesn't declare it verbally, but he has no intention of using it. And the dirt, a wafer, is also ban stam. V'in yaduim osid lefanoso mav, and he has no expressed statement as to whether he would or would not remove it, but it's dirt. So in this situation, the tevid, the enosid lefanosa, or offer stam, so this is a machlokus between Rav Yossi and the Rabbanan as to what the halach is. And this is a Mishnah that we have in Ahalos. It says in the Mishnah in Ahalos the following. It says, now, you have a bias shemilu tevin o troos. If you have a house that is filled with either straw or with troos, troos of pebbles, or bitlo, and you declare them to be null and void, so you were orally declaring to be null and void, so then they are considered as if they're filling up the house and they're mevutal. And therefore, if you have tumma inside over here, it won't have a space of a tefach in between the tumma smay sits there in the rooftop, and therefore it will go right through. There's a rule that if you don't have a tefach of space, so then the tumma is Ola ubokas. It goes up and through. If there's a tefach of space, then the tumah hits the ceiling and spreads out and goes all around the ohel, but it won't go above through the hoa. That's the din. So it tells us if you have teben utroas and you were orally declaring them to be batel, so then it's as if they are filled in there. We consider them halachically filled in as it was physically filled in, and therefore they are considered nullified to the house. They're bevutal to the house, and therefore they will allow the bones, the tumah space that's there, to go right up through because there's no airspace. However, that implies bitla only if they verbally declared that I hereby declare this tevin or tzroos to be null and void, and therefore it's nullified to the house. But if he didn't declare verbally lo bitlo, he didn't say they're going to be null and void, it means he could take them out at any point in time, so then lo, then we don't consider them permanently placed over there, and therefore it's as if there is an airspace over there, and the tumah won't go be ola and bokas and go through the roof. And Vatani Allah, we learn the following about that Mishnah. This price states, Rav Yossi Omer, Tevin, if you're dealing with Tevin, Veinosi Lefanoso, our case of the Tevin, Veinosi Lefanoso, you have no expressed interest in keeping it there, but you also have no statement that you're going to remove it. It looks like it may stay there forever, Veinosi Lefanoso, but you didn't specifically state so. So Rav Yossi says it's exactly the same thing. Harei Yuka offer stam ubatel. It would have the status of just like being dirt that's placed over there, which we presume is always going to be batel, and therefore the straw as well is batel. However, offer for osi lefanoso, if you put dirt there, however you are intending to remove it at some point later in time, then harei Yuka stam tevin. Then it's just like stam tevin, which is not presumed ain osi lefanoso, stam tevin, you will presumably remove it, and therefore the dirt, which is intended to be removed, has the same din as stam tevin, according to Rav Yossi, below batel, and it won't be considered nullified by the house, and therefore any tumah was there would not be ola bokas, because it would be considered halachically like there was a space of a tefach. So therefore, our discussion over here of tevin, ain osi lefanoso, and offer stam is exactly parallel in that machlokis in all those between Rav Yossi and Rabbanan, just like over there is a machlokis, so too over here it's a machlokis as well. More continues and discusses the following case. Haysa gavoa meyesum amma, if the floor to the schach is more than 20 amma, and now you have vuhuts in yardim besoch esum amma, and you have these little branches or leaves that are hanging down from the schach and entering into the 20 amma airspace. So the main schach is more than 20 amma, but you have little branches that are hanging down to less than 20 amma. So what's the halach in this situation? So im tzilosom meruba mechamosin, if you have so many branches hanging down, that even if you remove the rest of the schach that's more than 20 amma tall, these branches that are hanging down, these hutzin that are yardim besoch esum amma, are going to be more shade in tziluso meruba mechamosin, so then it's perfectly valid. You actually have kosher schach within the 20 amma airspace, and therefore it's fine, kshera. However, if you just have a little bit of hutzin hanging down, v'imlab, you don't have tzilosom of these hutzin meruba mechamosin, so then, psula, it's not considered a kosher sukkah, because we don't combine it with the good schach above the 20 amma. We only look at the schach that's below the 20 amma. The schach that's below the 20 amma point is not adequate, it's not enough, and therefore it is considered that it's not significant as schach, and the schach that's significant is considered only above 20 amma, and if the schach is more than 20 amma above the ground, it's not considered a kosher sukkah, at least again according to the chachamim, which is how we paskin. Similarly, Haysa Gavoa Asara Tvachim. This sounds like it's going to be the exact parallel case, but we'll see that it's not. But first, we're presuming it's the exact parallel case. Here we were talking about, until now, about the maximal height of the sukkah. It can't be more than 20 amma. Now we know that the minimal height of the sukkah, we learned in the first Mishnah, is also can't be less than 10 Tvachim. So Haysa Gavoa Asara Tvachim, if in fact the schach was, let's say, 10 and a half Tvachim. So it's perfectly kosher sukkah because you have the walls of the sukkah that are more than 10 Tvachim tall. And then you have these hoots and these branches and leaves on the branches that hang down, yardin l'sol chasara, and they're going less than 10 Tvachim. So now, if you just looked at it from the hutzin point of view, you don't have 10 Tvachim. So do we or do we not look at the hutzin? So here it says that Sovar Abai Lemeimar, Abai wanted to say this is exactly the same case as we had a moment ago with the Gavoa and the Yesru Mama. It should be the same thing. If you have Tzilosa Meruba Mechamosam, so that it's considered that there's Schach less than 10 Tvachim, and it would be no good. However, our Gemara says, Im Chamosun Meruba Mitzilosam, but if you don't have that much Schach i.e. hutzin, hanging down below the 10 tefachim. In other words, if you have more sun, chamasim, meruba, misilasim, that's more than the shade, so then Abaye wanted to suggest ksheva, this would be perfectly good, because it would be essentially as if it wasn't there. And it should be just like the previous case, we view it when it's more than 20 yama, and a little bit of the hutzin are hanging down to less than 20 yama, we view the hutzin as not being significant, because tzilasim was not meruba mechamasim, chamasim was meruba mitzilasim, so then it's no good. So to over here, Abaye wanted to suggest that if there's only a small amount of hutzin, so it's not considered significant schach, so therefore most of the schach is above 10 tefachim, therefore it should be a good sukkah. But Rava says no. Amalei Rava says the two cases are different. When you have the first case with more than 20 yama, you're right, the significant schach is above 20 yama. But he can't say the significant schach is still above 10 tefachim, because you do have these hutzin that are hanging down, and they're going to make dwelling in this very small sukkah very uncomfortable. Hadira sruchahi, this is now considered a very problematic type of an ohel. It's very difficult for a person to dwell with all these branches there. A person is much taller than a meter, right? This is a meter is the height of the sukkah. And he's going to crouch down there. He's going to lie down there. And these branches are going to be in his face. So therefore, this is a dira sruchah here. It's a less than optimal, a very suboptimal type of a sukkah. Sruch means it's foul smelling. So it's not a good sukkah. And a person doesn't live in such a situation. And therefore, this is not going to be that you have to go to a shuv, ukein, taduru, that you have to stay in the sukkah just like you do in your dwelling place. Nobody would live in such a house that had these very low ceilings with the hutzin hanging down. So therefore, Rava says this is not comparable. The hutzin from 20 yama that hang down don't make it good because there's not enough of them. But even if there's only a small amount of hutzin going below 10 tefachim, that would ruin it for you. Similarly, the Gemara says, if the sukkah schach is more than 20 yama, and what does the person do? He goes and builds a platform. Now, there's two different ways you can build a platform. We have a diagram right here in our Gemara that shows you, again, my illustration is obviously that we have an eastern wall and a western wall. So let's assume the eastern wall here is on the right and the western wall is on the left in the diagram that you see in the Gemaras. Again, you have diagrams for this as well in the illustrated Gemara and the Pirush Chai, but we have it right here in our Gemara, so we can use the Gemara's diagram. So, again, the right wall is the eastern wall, and in the middle, where it says, it's the Babiemsa, that wall, we'll call it the northern wall today, yes, I call it the southern wall today, we'll call it the northern wall because we have it in this orientation, that the east is on the right, and the western wall is on the left, so then, obviously, north is going to be above you. So we'll call the wall that's called the middle wall, Beemsa, where the Itztaba is, so that we'll call the northern wall today. So you have a wall on the right, you have a wall on the left, and you have the wall connecting them in the middle, and you put the platform right up against the wall that's connecting the opposite walls. The third wall of the sukkah, which is the middle wall of the sukkah, has the platform over there. Now, the sukkah from the ground, the white area in the Gemara, up to the top is more than 20 yama. But if you put a platform there, let's say the platform is an yama off the ground, so this platform is now going to make the height of the sukkah diminish to below 20 yama. The sukkah was originally 20 and a half yama. You now put a platform there that's one yama tall, so the height from the platform up to the schach is only 19 and a half yama. And this is a perfectly kosher sukkah. That's what the Gemara says. And it runs across the entire middle wall, as you see in the diagram, from the east to the west, all the way across this northern wall, and it fills in that entire area. And again, the mount of the Itzaba, it's also going out seven tefachim from the north to the south. So it's the hatched area that we have over here is at least seven tefachim. And therefore, that constitutes a kosher sukkah. Therefore, that's what it says, V'yesh bo hechsher sukkah. So this itztaba is at least seven amah wide. So it goes from north, the northern middle wall, towards the south, open end, at least seven tefachim. So this itztaba now constitutes an area of a kosher sukkah. So you have a kosher sukkah over here with the schach being 19 and a half amah above this platform. And therefore, ksheir, it's a perfectly good sukkah. And not only do the mefarshim bring down that is good, but the rest of the sukkah is good as well, even the area that is beyond the itztaba, because once you have this part of the sukkah good, everything else in the sukkah underneath that schach is also going to be good, even beyond the platform. However, if you have it minatzad, if you have the platform, let's say, up against the eastern wall, like you see in the second diagram in the Gemara, so in this situation, you only have a two-walled sukkah from the point of view of the itztaba. You have the northern wall, the middle wall, and you have the eastern wall, the wall on the right. And the platform is only constituting two valid walls over here. It doesn't have the western wall at all in it to be a good third wall. So therefore, if you build this itzdaba min hatzad, so then it depends. Im yesh misfas itzdaba lekosel arba amos, if it's within 4 amos of the other wall, of the western wall, so then in that situation, if it's more than 4 amos, it's going to be psula, because then you can't apply the rule of dofen akuma. But if it's pachos mi arba amos, if it's less than dalet amos, so then we do apply the principle of dofen akuma, and it therefore is going to be kshera. Again, there are wonderful diagrams of this in both the Perush Chai and the Illustrated Gemara, if the diagram that we have here in our Gemara is too schematized for you. In any event, the Gemara says, are you teaching me the din of Dofen Akuma? Michael Mashulon, the Amrin of Dofen Akuma, is that the Chiddush over here, that we apply the din of Dofen Akuma? Tanina, we already learned the principle of Dofen Akuma. Now, we had mentioned it already previously, but it's really going to be learned in the Gemara and Daf Yud Zayin. So the Gemara is really saying, we know the principle of Dofen Akuma from someplace else, so why are you telling me it from here, as if this is the only reason to teach us this, is this Dofen Akuma? We know it already. Tanina, Bayis Shenivchas V'sichich Al Gabo. If you have a regular house, let's say your house, your living room, it's on the top floor, and you take out part of the middle of the ceiling. So Bayis Shenivchas V'sichich Al Gabo. So you take out part of the ceiling, and then you put in Schach. So you have an indoor sukkah. You perfectly have a great sukkah. So what's the din? So Im Yesh Min HaKosel LaSichuch Arba Amos. If you have, the way the Mefarshim understands this the best, this is the way the Maharam understands this, so he says that if you have only on one side over here, there's Dofen Akuma, so if it's less than 4 amos away from the wall, where you made the hole in the ceiling and put up the schach, and the wall, it's within 4 amos of it, so then that's the Dofen Akuma, and we're good. But im yesh min hakosel lasichuch arba amos, if there's 4 amos or more, so then psula, then it's no good, because we don't have the principle of Dofen Akuma. Implication being called Pachos Mikan Kshera, which is the din of Dofen Akuma. So why are you telling it to me again that we have Dofen Akuma? Gemara says, no. Ma'u detema ha'asam hu dechazio ledofen. In the situation of the house, now again, I jumped in and gave you the Maram's pshat over here. So let's assume that it's not plop in the middle of the entire ceiling. It's closer to one wall. But in this situation, where you have a wall, that was a perfectly good kosher wall. It wasn't more than 20 amma from the floor, that it went all the way up to the schach. The ceiling is less than 20 amma. So in that situation, I might have said, ma'u detema ha'asam hu dechazio ledofen. Only in that situation is it considered a good wall, because it is a real wall. Aval hacha, in our case, where we have this western wall, that actually is, the schach on that side is 21 amma up. And therefore, that wall technically is not a good dofen, because the schach is too high. This wall can't function because the schach is too high. I might have thought, no, aim below. Therefore, kamash v'lom, that's the chiddush over here to teach us that we can apply the principle of dofen akuma even when the wall isn't technically a good wall. But here, because we now have made the northern wall and the eastern wall into good because of the itzdaba that we put against the tzad, against the eastern wall, so therefore the western wall, which in and of itself wouldn't be a dofen, we can apply the principle of dofen akuma. That is the chiddush. Similarly, Gemara says, here we're talking about, you have a sukkah. Now, we don't have diagrams in our Gemara, but we have diagrams in the Pirush Chai and the Illustrated Gemara. In the Pirush Chai, this is found on page 11, diagram number 45. And the Illustrated Gemara on page 8, diagram number 23. Now, you basically have this itzdaba, which until now we've had in the against the middle wall or against the side wall, now plop in the middle. It's not up against any of the 3 walls or a fourth wall if there was a fourth wall physically extant. So in this situation, the schach is more than 20 amma high, and you put in an itzdaba, and you put the itzdaba and plop in the middle of the sukkah, not against any of the walls. Ubana itzdaba b'emtsa isa. And we say the following, im yesh misfas itzdaba ledofen arba amos l'chol ruach v'ruach, if the itzdaba is placed in a very judicial space, that it is within 4 amos of every single wall, or at least 3 of the walls, so then we can apply the principle of Dofen Akuma to all 3 walls, and it would be good. However, im yesh misfas itzav ledofen arba amos l'chol ruach v'ruach, there's more than 4 amos in every direction, 4 amos or more in every direction, then psula, then it is no good, because you can't apply Dofen Akuma for more than 4 amos, 4 or more amos. But if it's pachos mi'arba amos, if it's less than dalet amos, then k'shera, we apply the principle. Shmuel says, but you already taught us that. Michael Mashula. Didn't we just have that in the case before? That meaning Dofen Akuma, we said that you can apply Dofen Akuma even though it's not in and of itself a good wall because the schach is more than 21 amma high, but you would apply the principle of Dofen Akuma even in that situation. So Hainu Hach, isn't this the same thing? So why are you telling it to us again? How is this any different than when you have the itzab on the side against one wall, against the eastern wall in our diagram, and then the western wall is not a valid wall yet, Dofen Akuma works, so too, the Yitzhak is in the middle. So the Western Wall, for example, is also still going to be no good, but we apply the principle of Dofen Akuma. Hainu hach, it's the same thing. So Mordechai says, no, here's where the Maram comes in. Ma'u de Tema, until now we had Dofen Akuma, Miruach Achas Amrin, and that was only talking about Miruach Achas. I will call Ruach the Ruach Lo, but maybe if you're applying it to more than one wall, I wouldn't know that. That's why when the Yitzhak is in the middle, plop in the middle of the Sukkah, and you need to apply Dofen Akuma, let's say, to the eastern wall, to the western wall, and to the northern wall, maybe not. Therefore, Kamash V'Lon, no, the Chiddush is that we apply the principle of Dofen Akuma even to one more than one wall at a time. And that's why this is a Chiddush over here in this last case. Similarly, the Gemara says, "Haisa bechusa me'asar tefachim." If you have the sukkah is less than 10 tefachim tall, so the schach is within 10 tefachim of the ground, and therefore it's not a kosher sukkah. However, you dig out v'chokak bo kidei lashlim liyasara. Again, you can see diagrams of this in the Pirush Chai diagram number 46 on page 11, or you can see this in the Illustrated Gemara on page 8, diagram number 24. So you basically dig out an area that is going to be a kosher sukkah, at least 7 tefachim by 7 tefachim, underneath the schach that was previously 9 tefachim, or you dig down 1.5 tefachim, and now you have an area in this hole that you were digging out, so the schach is 10.5 tefachim above this hole in the ground. So Ha'isab Chusa Me'asar Tvachem and V'chokak Bo Kedei Lashlim Le'asar, and you've deepened it, you dug out some of the dirt to make it at least 10 Tvachem. So is this a Kashrut Sukkah? Not. So here we don't say Dofen Akuma, we don't say 4 Amos, we'll have to explain why in a moment, but here we say Im Yesh Misvas Chakak B'Lakoso Shlosha Tvachem, only if we're within lover distance, only if we're less than 3 Tvachem from the area that they dug out to the walls of the Sukkah, do we allow this to be a Kashrut Sukkah. But if you have 3 or more tefachim, so then we can't apply the principle of lavud and psula. It isn't going to be a good kosher sukkah. And the obvious question is, as we turn to Dalet Amud Beis, what's the difference over here between the Dofen Akuma principle, which we said is 4 amos, and this chakak, where we say you apply the principle of lavud, which is less than 3 tefachim. So that's what the Gemara tells us now in Dalet Amud Beis. If it's less, pachos mishlosha tefachim, it's good, kshera. And the Gemara asks the question, maishno hosom the amos pachos mi'arba amos, or maishno hocha the amos pachos mishlosha tefachim. Why, in the previous case, when we're dealing with Dofen Akuma, do we say as long as it's within 4 amos? And here we're saying, if it's more than 3 or more tefachim, it's no good. What's the difference between the two? So Gemara says, in the case of Dofen Akuma, why is 4 amos acceptable? Hosom the isel a dofen, because you had a wall there. Okay, it wasn't a kosher wall, it was 21 amma wall to the schach, so it wasn't a kosher wall, but it was a physical good wall. It had the halachic status of being a mechitza. And therefore, we can apply the principle of Dofen Akuma to slant that wall and make it into a valid wall for the itztaba. So therefore, pachos mi'arba amos sagya, it's good. But in our situation, you only have a 9 tefach wall. Hach l'shavuya l'dofen, you have to go and make it into a wall. A halachic wall is 10 tefachim. Right, 21 amos is a halachic wall. In every other area, it's a perfectly good mechitza. It's only because of sukkah that it's no good for the schach, but it's absolutely a wall. So therefore, you can apply the rules of a wall to it, Dofen Akuma. However, here, it's a 9 tefach wall. That's, by definition, not considered a wall. So you have to make it into a dofen. Hocha l'shavuya l'dofen. Then you can't use Dofen Akuma 4 amos. So pachos mishlosha tefachim, you have the principle of lavud in. So then it's halachically connected to the hole in the ground. But if it's 3 tefachim or more away, then you can't apply this principle to make it into a wall. It's not halachically a wall, and therefore it will not work. Similarly, the Gemara says, if your sukkah has more than a 20 yard space between the floor and the schach, and you go and build a platform in there, an amud, that is more than 10 tefachim tall. So it is 7 tefachim wide by 7 tefachim wide, and it is more than 10 tefachim tall. And you can see this in the Illustrated Gemara on page 9, diagram number 25, or in the Pirush Chai on page 12, in diagram number 57. So this entity, this 10 tefach tall post, or platform, which is 7 tefachim by 7 tefachim at least wide, is a separate entity in of itself, because it's 10 tefachim of the ground. So when you build this omud, shugavo asar tefachim, you've now diminished the height between the top of this platform, which is at least 10 tefachim high, and the schach. So let's say again, a schach is 21 amos above the ground. By putting in something 10 tefachim, that's 1 amma and 4 tefachim. So you've diminished the height from this platform to the schach to make it less than 20 amma. Now, is this a good sukkah or not? there are no walls to this platform. So it's further away from the walls of the sukkah, so you can't apply the din of Dofid Akuma, but does it work on its own? So Gemara says, V'yesh bo hechsher sukkah, since it's at least 7 tvachim by 7 tvachim and 10 tvachim tall, so Abaye wanted to suggest that this is perfectly good because of the principle of good osik. Savar Abaye lemeimar, good osik mechitzasa. We halachically consider this a separate entity, and therefore the walls that go down halachically can be viewed as walls that are going up as well. You can see this very clearly in the two diagrams that I just mentioned in both the Pirush Chai and the Illustrated Gemara. So that's what Abaye wanted to suggest. We apply the principle, so Abaye lemeimar good osik mechitzasa. We carry these walls to continue up. They're already 10 tvachim. They go from the ground up 10 tvachim, so they can go up another 10 tvachim. Even though physically they don't, but halachically, because of the principle of good osik, you extend the wall up, so then maybe it should be good mechitza. And in fact, you can extend it all the way up to the schach, because the schach is now within 20 amos at the top of this platform. So therefore, Abaye wanted to suggest that this would be good. But Amalei Rava, again, Rava tells, no, it is not good. Why in this situation is it not good? Amalei Rava, ba'inon mechitzos hanikaros v'leka. Because a sukkah can't have just purely halachically constructed types of walls. You need physical walls. And here, in this construct, the walls of the platform, by the principle of good osik, are invisible. They're not recognizable. You're standing on a platform. Nobody thinks that those are walls that are going down. That's a platform. And therefore, it's not considered a wall going down, and therefore, it can't be considered a wall going up magically through the halachic principle of good osik. And therefore, Abaye thought it was good, and Rava tells him, no, you need mechitzos hanikaros. They have to be visible, recognizable walls, and not a pure halachic construct. And here you don't have any of the lekka, and therefore it's no good. Mar says, Tana Rabban, we learn the following in the Braisa. What about the following situation? And you can see this in the Pirush Chai in page 13, diagram number 58. And you can see similar ideas to this. We'll see in the Illustrated Gemara, not exactly this, but in the upcoming scenarios that we're going to be talking about, on page 9 in diagrams number 26 and 27. So, what is the case here in the Braisa? Noatz arba kundesin. You have four posts, and the sicha chagabon. You have four corners. You just have the corners, which are poles, and then you put schach above them. So you have, essentially, perfectly good schach, but without walls. You just have four corners, and those four corners aren't walls. They're holding up the schach. So what is the halacha? No atzar v'kundesin v'sicha chagabon. So Rav Yaakov is machshir v'chom posel. Rav Yaakov says it's a perfectly good sukkah, and the chom say, no, it is not a good sukkah. What's the svara? Amar Rav Huna says, this is the understanding. He says, the machlokis between Rav Yaakov and the chom goes as follows. The machlokis is al svas agag. This machlokis between them even applies when you put up these four posts on the four corners of a roof. The roof is the top of a building. And those building, those walls going down, are not like the platform that we just discussed a moment ago. Those are real walls of a building. There's houses underneath them. So you're building it on the roof, and you put up these posts, these poles, in the four corners of this roof. So Rav Huna says that Rav Yaakov, who's machshir, says as follows. The machlokas is in this exact situation, where it's on the svasa gag. We have the four corners of this rooftop having a post, and then each of these posts is going to hold the schach up. So he says it's a perfectly good wall there. Why? The Rav Yaakov Savar, Aminun good osik mechitzasa. Here you can say the principle of good osik because the walls in this situation are real walls. Not like in the platform where there weren't real walls. That was just a platform. Here these are walls of a house. There's a whole house underneath these walls. And therefore, these walls of the house, which serve to be the walls of the first floor, the second floor, the third floor, can also serve to be halachic walls on the roof. And therefore, we do apply, Rav Yaakov says, the principle of good osik mechitzos in this situation, because they're real walls going down, so they can be halachic walls going up through the principle of good osik. And the Rabbanan say, no, Rabbanan Sabri, lo aminu good osik mechitzos. In this situation, we can't apply the principle of good osik mechitzos, because you need ba'inon mechitzos hanikaros. They have to be recognizable. And they're not recognizable in this situation as well, just like in the previous case with the platform. So this is, according to Rav Huna, where they're having the machlokas. But that's only because Rav Yaakov says that the walls over here are good walls, and therefore we can apply the principle of good osik, and the Chacham say no. But everybody would agree, according to Rav Huna, avol be'emtza gag, if you were to put these posts not at the four corners of the gag, but if you put them in the middle of the gag, so then the house walls below them aren't recognizable because they're plop in the middle of the gag. So therefore, even Rav Huna would say that if you put them in the middle, avol be'emtza gag, divrei Yaakov psul. Even Rav Yaakov would say that that's not going to be the principle of good osik. That's exactly like the previous case where we had the platform in the middle, the 10 tefach platform, and that doesn't have walls to it, so too if you put the kundisin, if you put these poles in the middle of the gag, even Rav Yaakov would say that that's not a valid good osik mechitza. That's Rav Huna's opinion. Rav Nachman Amar, b'emtza gag machlokas. He says, no, this case, we have the b'emtza gag, that's when there's a machlokas between Rav Yaakov and the Chachamim. And the implication is that every place else, it's divrei hakol. So Gemara says, is that really true? Ibarlu, b'emtza gag machlokas, according to Rav Nachman, it's only in the middle of the gag that there's a machlokas, but is it divrei hakol of a lasvasa gag, even the Chachamim amo, the divrei hakol, that it's kshera? According to this opinion, Rav Nachman, is he saying that the Chacham Mamodeh to Rav Yaakov, that if you put the Kundesin in the four corners, that he does apply the principle, even the Chacham apply the principle of good Osik? Or do we say, no, Dilma, maybe not. Oh, Dilma, Bein Bazur, Bein Bazur Machlokis. No, the Chachamim disagree, even in the case of the Kundesin at the corners, and certainly they disagree in the case of the Emtzah Gag Machlokis. How do we resolve this? Take it. Gemara says, we don't resolve this. We don't have an answer. Gemara questions this still further. Meisvei, we have a brisa that says, Noatz Arba Kudisun Ba'aretz. If you put the four posts into the ground, not on a rooftop, but you put them into the ground, Vesicha Chagab, and then you put Tzchach up there, so you have four posts, four corners, and no walls. So Rav Yaakov is Machshir V'Chacham Posun. Rav Yaakov says, that also is good, and the Chacham says it's Posun. Now, what's going on over here? Va'aretz, Dibach Emtza Gag Domi, isn't the ground no different than the Emtza Gag case? There's no recognizable walls, and yet, Rav Yaakov seems to allow the principle of good osik to work over here. For eretz kim emtza gag domi v'komachshir of Yaakov. So what's going on? So this seems to be a tiyufta, the Rav Huna. This seems to shlug up Rav Huna that said the emtza gag divrei hakol psula. It seems that it's not divrei hakol psula. Mor says, Taki, you're right, tiyufta. We've shlugged up Rav Huna's opinion, and Rav Nachman's opinion is right. We just don't know. If Rav Nachman's opinion says that it's divrei hakol by the kundisin that it's good, when the Kedisa are in the four corners, then even the Chacham Mamodeh and the Machlokas is only in the middle, or no, is there a Machlokas in the middle as well as in Machlokas in the four corners? And Rav Yaakov says both are good, and the Chacham say both are not good. Now we'll try to prove which one that is. For Od, the Gemara says, Be'emtza hu depligi. Dumar wants to tell us that in this case that we just brought down, the Meisvei, the Machlokas between Rav Yaakov and the Chachamim is when you put the poles in the ground. Now that's the equivalent of Be'emtza. Now, Be'emtza the Pligi, that implies that only in that case do the Chachamim argue with Yaakov. Implication being, Avol Asfas Agag Dir Yaakov Sheira, and that seems to go against Rav Huna as well. Because Rav Huna said, in that situation, that there's a Machlokas. So therefore, we've slugged up Rav Huna in both of the scenarios. Shmuel says, no. Rav Huna would say over here, no, you can't bring me a raya that the Chachamim Amoda in the case of the four corners, because in fact they're not. They disagree. Even if you put the four poles, the four poles in the four corners, the Chachamim would still say, we don't apply the principle of good osik. Why not? Because they say it has to be recognizable walls. So why don't they argue in that case? Why do they argue only seemingly in the case in the middle? Shmuel says, why do they seem to only discuss it in the middle of the gag? To show you the strength of Rav Yaakov, that even when it's in the middle, he says you apply the principle of good osik. Certainly, Rav Yaakov applies it at the end. But the Chachamim, they don't apply good osik, these imaginary walls, not only not in the middle, but even not at the end. That he says but the Chachamim disagree, both in the middle of the gag and even in the four corners of the gag. So therefore, it's not a raya against Rav Huna from this. We have another brisa, Tana Rabban, and the brisa says, Noatz arba kudesin baretz, if you plant these four poles in the ground, and you put the schach up on top of them. So Rav Yaakov says, Roin kol she'ilu yechokiku v'yecholku, Yeshban tefach lekan v'tefach lekan, and idonim mishum deyumud, and therefore it is a kosher sukkah. Now, wow, that was a mouthful. So what does Rav Yaakov hold? He says, and you can see diagrams of this here in the art scroll, as well as you can in the illustrated Gemara on page 10, diagram number 28, or in the Pirush Chai in diagram number 58 on page 13. And like I said, you also have this in the art scroll Gemara too, in the footnote 19. In any event, what this brisa, Rav Yaakov is telling us, that you put these circular poles in the four corners of the ground, and then you put the schach on top of them. So Rav Yaakov says that this is a kosher sukkah because we have diyumdin. Diyumdin means two right angle walls in all the four corners. Now these are circular poles. How do you have right angle walls? So Rav Yaakov says, Rowin, we visualize kol she'ilu yichaku, as if they were squared off. So there's a circular pole over here, but we square it off. We inscribe a square within this. And then within the square, we make it into an L-shaped form. So therefore, we have two right angle, at least one tefach in the right angle one way, and at a right angle to the other way, 9 degrees apart, the other one, and you have this in all four quarters, and you have what we call diumdin. You have, in this halachic construct, you have an L-shaped right angle, and you have that in each of the four corners that you've hollowed out, theoretically, halachically, you don't have to physically do this, from the four posts, the four poles that you have. And therefore, this is similar to the pasi biros. If you remember back from the halacha that we said, that to make it easier for the people to be to ole regel, so the chachamim allowed that we could make these pasi biros to enclose a well, so that you could bring up the well water to the area enclosed within these pasi biros, which we said was a right angles. You had these diumdin that were at each of the four corners of the pasi biros. Now, there was a different size for that. Those were one amma by one amma. Here we only need one tefach by one tefach. The Beforshim explained that by Hilchos Shabbos was stricter. So therefore, we needed over there a full amma. But here, in regards to Hilchos Sukkah, so then it's adequate to have one tefach by one tefach. Now, Rav Yaakov says, Rohen koshilu yechoku v'yechoku. So you hollow out this square within this circle, and then you again make that into two tefach, so to say, boards coming out at right angles to each other. And therefore, as long as they have yeshua and tefach lakan, but tefach lakan nidona mishum diyumud, it is like a du omud, two omud over there, and it's perfectly valid. However, the imlav, if it's not enough, this pole is a circle, but it's not enough to inscribe it within a square that then could have a tefach going one way and a tefach at a right angle to it going the other way. So then, imlav, if you don't have such a potential, so any dona mishum diyumin, it's not halachically a du miyumin, and Rav Yaakov would say it's no good in that situation. Shoyer Rav Yaakov Omer, Rav Yaakov held, diyum de sukkah tefach is perfectly good. If you have these two omuds, du, two omud, over here, it's perfectly good, as long as you have it in all four corners. The Chumim say, no, ashu shtayim kilchosan ushlishis afilu tefach. You need to have a real walled sukkah, bo'inan. You need to have defanos nikoros, so you need to have two real full-fledged walls, at least 7 tefachim by 7 tefachim, and the third wall could be, as we'll learn, one tefach at least. We'll discuss lamaisa, we try to have the third wall even physically longer, but at least min hadin, it could be one tefach, which we'll learn when we get to it in Yitzhak Shem. So that is this sugya over here, this machlokas between Rav Yaakov and the Chachamim. Nadigmar continues and quotes our mission. It says, "V'she'enu gvar asara tefachim." If the minimal height of the sukkah is not made, then it's a pasul sukkah. You need to have at least 10 tefachim. How do we know this? Where do we learn out that a sukkah has to be 10 tefachim? Minolim. Where's this din learned out from? So Itmar, we learn the following statement: Rav, the Rabbi Chanina, the Rabbi Yochanan, the Rabbi Chaviva, Masnu. All four of these samurayim learn the following statement. Now, Gemara has an aside over here and it says, whatever you learn throughout the entire Seder of Moed, Bechula Seder Moed, when you learn these four Amarayim, Kol Ki Haigazuga, when you learn these four Amarayim, so it's a printing error. Instead of being Rav Yochanan, it should be Rav Yonasan. Kol Ki Haigazuga, Chalufe Rav Yochanan, Umayle Rav Yonasan. In Seder Moed, whenever they have the name that this is Rav Yochanan, it really should be Rav Yonasan. In any event, these four Amarayim all said the following. What's the din? How do we know that 10 tefachim high is significant? Based upon the Aron Kodesh, the holy Aron that was enclosing the Aseres HaDibros, the Luchos. So Aron Tisha, that Aron had a height of 10 tefachim. It says, Amo v'chetzi koma so, 1.5 amma of height. Now, an amma, we're going with a 6 tefach amma, although we'll see in tomorrow's year that there will be an opinion that says it's not a 6 tefach amma, it's a 5 tefach amma, but right now we're working with a 6 tefach amma. So an amma of a chaytzi is 6 tefachim and 3 tefachim, which is 9 tefachim. And then the kaporis, the cover, the lid, if you wish, of the aron, was also a tefach in thickness, the kaporis tefach, and therefore, harei kanasara, the height of the aron is considered 10 tefachim. And furthermore, the pasuk says, it says in Shmos, V'no'adati l'cha sham, I will meet with you over there. V'dibarti etcha me'al ha'kaporis. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, when I meet with you over there, I will be above the kaporis. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in a different space. He's more than 10 tefachim above the ground. Now, how is that significant? So we turn to Hayam and Aleph. The Tanya, we learn in the bright, so Rav Yossi Omer, me'olam lo yardo shechina lamata. HaKadosh Baruch Hu never, so to say, goes into our world. Shemayim, Shemayim, Lashem, as Gemara is going to say, V'aretz Nesal B'nei Adam. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu stays in his domain. Kaviyachol. Betanya, Rav Yosi Omer, Me Olam Lo Yardu Shechina Liyam Lamata Me Asara. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shechina never goes to the ground, which is below 10 Tfachim. Below Olu, Moshe, Ve'Eliyahu L'Marom. And likewise, human beings don't go up to the Shemayim. That's Hashem's domain, Kaviyachol. Hashem's everywhere, of course. So we somewhat allegorically say the Shemayim is Shemayim Shenemar. The post says the Shemayim, Shemayim Lashem, V'aretz Nesal B'nei Adam. So Hashem, so to say, doesn't go descend below 10 Tfachim into this world, and man doesn't go above 10 Tfachim out of this world. Again, these are constructs, these are ideas, because obviously a person is taller than 10 Tfachim, so of course he's above 10 Tfachim. So in any event, these are constructs over here. Rav Yosi says, Me olam liyordu shechina lamata, v'lo olam moshe ve'eliyahu l'marom. Based upon this pasuk, shnemar, shemayim, shemayim, lashem, v'aretz nesal b'nei adam. And since HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke from me al hakapores, so therefore, that is considered a separate entity, and we see that 10 Tfachim is considered a significant amount, and therefore that is the minimal amount for a machitza, and that's why the sukkah has to be a minimum height of 10 Tfachim. That is the first opinion that the Gemara brings down. Now, the Gemara is going to question this and say, really? V'lo yor d'shchina lamata? The Shechina doesn't go below 10 Tfachim? But it says, v'aksiv, v'yirid Hashem al Har Sinai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu went down onto Har Sinai. So Gemara says, no, lamala me'asar tvachim. He still was above 10 tvachim. He went down to Har Sinai, but stayed above 10 tvachim. It says, v'aksiv, v'yamdu raglo v'yamhu al harizdeisim. But it says that kaviyochol, amdu raglo v'akodesh Baruch Hu was standing by yamhu al harizdeisim. So what does that mean? And that's a nevuah from Zechariah. So what exactly does that mean? So Gemara says, again, lamala me'asar tvachim. V'akodesh Baruch Hu, because kaviyochol, lamala me'asar tvachim. Gemara says, really? Is that true? V'lo olu Moshe v'Eliyahu l'marom. Moshe v'Eliyahu didn't go up to Shemayim. V'oksiv, Moshe olu elo elokim. Gemara says again, lamata me'asara. He didn't go up in this halachic construct higher than 10 Tfachim, even though he was up in Shemayim, but he was considered still in the Asara Tfachim of this world, whatever that exactly means. I don't claim to fully understand this, but we're using these, again, these constructs, these ideas to say that the earth is a domain of people, and that domain ends at 10 Tfachim, God's 10 Tfachim, not necessarily human 10 Tfachim, but we learn out this principle, therefore the 10 Tfachim is considered significant. And the Gemara still asks, V'oksiv, V'yal Eliyahu, Basu'or HaShemayim, Eliyahu seems to go up to Shemayim when he's brought up to Shemayim alive. Again, the Gemara says, L'matami Asari, no, he's not going up to the real Shemayim, he's high, but he's still considered within the domain of the 10 Tfachim of this world. We'll just go a little bit further. V'oksiv, Ma'achis, Pnei Kisei, Parshes, Olav, Anano. It says, however, in Eov, it says that he was allowed to, so to say, grab the Pnei Kisei, the punim of the Kisei of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it says, Parshes, Olav, Anano. He spread out his Anan, his cloud, over him. Rabbi Tanchum says about that, Malamit she piras shakai miziv shchinoso v'anono olav, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to say, encompassed him. And this is talking about Moshe Rabbeinu. So it seems that he's in Shemayim. Again, the Gemara says, no, this is this construct of real lamat miyasar. Even there, Moshe Rabbeinu is still considered within the 10 Tfachim of this world. Finally, the Gemara says, Mikol makom ma'aches pnei kiseksiv. It says he's grabbing onto it. How can you say that the throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not in the heavenly domain? So Gemara says, Ishtarbuve, Ishtarbevle, Kisei Arasara. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to say, lowered his throne so Moshe could grab it at the 10th Tfachim. The Nakatbe, and Moshe grabbed it. But he didn't actually leave this 10th Tfachim of this world. Again, I don't claim to understand this part of the Gemara, but again, it's a construct that says that 10th Tfachim is a significant amount. We learned this out from the Aron, and we'll continue this discussion tomorrow. With this, we conclude today's shiur.